Hot Tag Tequila episode 140, Multiplayer Tips and Map of the Month, Standoff for the week of December 18th, 2007.
Why don't you take a picture and it'll, what does that say? Last darkness.
Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You're about to hear what the Halo Nation had to say about this week's topic at Podtacular.com to help you dominate at Halo. So strap on your Spartan armor and grab a battle rifle, because it's time to finish the fight.
It's come down to just you and me.
Welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Kumar Jive.
I'm JVP.
I'm Clutch.
And this is Nelson. I'm a guest, and I want to thank Robbie D, Paris, and Jake for having me on.
Oh, wait,
yes,
wrong show.
Which one is Paris?
You can tell. You know which one is Paris.
Because I want to be Paris. You know, he's a pretty brother from another mother. But anyway, thank you for joining us, guys. It's a pleasure to have you, and we have Clutch27 from the community and Mr. Nelson Rodriguez from the Microsoft Xbox Live team. So,
yes, am I the Xbox Live team now? Did you just promote me?
Mm-hmm. Cheap plug-in.
Of the Gamer Score blog.
Well, since we have you here, because we know you're busy and you're getting ready actually to go fly and meet Bill Gates, am I correct on that one?
That is correct. There's a helicopter waiting outside.
Mm-hmm. And so we better hurry up with this interview then.
Yeah. And I've been here. I've been on this interview for a few minutes. I just want to let the audience.
So, Nelson, we know you from AchievementJunkies.com. You and Natalie, very successful podcast. And not too long ago, you landed a job with the Gamerscore blog team. So why don't you go a little bit into that and how exciting that is for you?
It is. It's a thrill. I am sitting here right now in my cubicle. And no. It's the Gamerscore blog team is basically the Xbox and Games for Windows community mm-hmm. team, Microsoft. And what the team does is they listen to podcasts and visit websites and try to stay on top of what the enthusiast community is doing. So like the fan, like hardcore fans of video games, what they're up to, what they're talking about, what they're unhappy about. And that's why the reason that the team brings people like me in, or people like Chris Baldovino, who was the last guy to join, the reason they bring those people in is they hope that since it's something that we did for fun, it's something that we could stay on top of, that we care about. So it's almost like we're doing it, since we were doing it before it was a job, they hope that we continue with that same kind of passion for it.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are doing a great job with that. You guys have kept the community involved. And a few months ago, there was a little game called Halo 3 that released. And actually, that was, your first project with the community as far as doing an event?
Yeah, that was my first big event. It's, you guys were out there, the two of you, and a bunch of other clowns. it was basically a bunch of community sites of people who either had a big focus on Halo or just happened to be really active community sites were invited out for that event. And that was within my first few weeks on the job, basically. Where I got to interact with a lot of the community guys that I had not met before. Even though, as you know, in the way this community podcasting thing goes, you get to meet people all the time. So I had met,
of course,
I had met both of you before. I think, did I meet you before?
That was the first time you met Fumo Jeff.
I don't think we had.
Yeah. I call you Michael.
For fun. Michael.
Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first time I got to meet you, but I had met a lot of the other community guys before, so it was sort of, it was like half reunion from our Crackdown days.
Mm-hmm.
Days
of the community team. Yes.
Crackdown. And meet new people.
That Crackdown event actually seemed like a long time ago.
It feels like forever, and it wasn't even a year.
It hasn't been a year?
Yeah, it has not been a year, and the time that I met all you guys.
It hasn't been a year yet, but yet so much has happened with the core people that were there, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that was... No, I know. That was the first time that I even met the... Well, it wasn't the first time I met them. That was the first time I really interacted with the community team at Microsoft. First time I had ever been up to the campus. And a lot in the community has changed. Like, that was, for a lot of us, it was the first time any of us had been to events. Now, you've been to a bunch of events. Paris has been to a bunch of events. All of us have now a lot more experience. Companies are starting to take community websites a lot more seriously because they realize that not only do you speak for this sort of core group of gamers, but you also influence a lot of opinions for people beyond just your core group. So people who listen to Podtacular, their family members go to them and say, hey, I know you're really into games. What's your advice on this new game? What's your advice on this new map pack? And those guys, those thousands of people, are spreading the story to another several more thousands of people, and they're all getting it from you, from your show. And that's something that I think a lot of companies are realizing.
Mm-hmm. And that's insider information exclusive to Podtacular. So.
Do you see the field leveling even more on that as time goes on?
What do you mean by leveling?
I mean between mainstream media and blogging and smaller, even unpaid media as it goes. Do you see that the differential between those two kind of diminishing to where smaller blogs and just people that are voicing their opinion on things are becoming more and more to the level of they're taken seriously because of how many people they affect?
I think what's starting to happen is that the amateur media or junior media or whatever you want to call it, independent media, they're starting to become unavoidable. So it's not necessarily like sites sometimes about, like they don't necessarily get a, but you can't ignore them, and Microsoft hasn't been ignoring them for many years, and it's something that they've been focused on for a long time. But other companies that maybe were ignoring small media before, even if you're not getting to the top of the list, if you're not being treated like Time Magazine, you're still now on the list. They can't just pretend that you don't exist anymore because of the way the internet works. It's very easy for you to produce a YouTube video and have 150,000 people see it. And that wasn't the case 10 years ago when the media model, the media model that a lot of the companies use now is what they were using 10 years ago, and it's changed so much just in the last couple of years. They can't really do it the same way anymore.
Right.
Especially in the gaming industry, it's so big and makes so much money. Any way they can get their product out there, especially, and I hate to say this, but for companies, this is a great way to save some money and get free publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So why not use it?
Relatively free, yeah.
So, Nelson, you also had the opportunity to go to this year's video game awards in Vegas. Go ahead.
You're going to say something about what I did there? My secret? the community team got to go to the video game awards, Spike TV Video Game Awards, and we got to cover it. And what was kind of fun, I gotta say, was to meet people who you see on TV who you maybe think have no relationship to gaming, and to see that there are a lot of those people are excited about gaming. They've been gaming since they were kids, like the rest of us have. And so we took a bunch of video of that stuff, like people talking about what game they would make if they could make a game about themselves, or what video game they would like to work on in the future, or whether or not they'd like to work on video games. And there were a lot of interesting answers from people like Tia Carrera and Kristen Bell, who was a character in Assassin's Creed, and she's on Heroes. She's the electrical girl in Heroes.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite characters.
One of your favorite characters for what? Why is that?
Visually.
Say that.
Because she has a fascinating intellect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What was funny about that interview with her was when you said, are you playing Assassin's Creed? And she's like, and you're like, what system? And she's like thinking, and she's like, Xbox 360? So I'm wondering, like, before you guys started rolling the tape, if you told her, if you don't mention Xbox 360, bad things are going to happen to you.
I say that to everybody, pretty much. there's some of those videos are now on the marketplace, actually, on the Xbox Live marketplace. So you can see an interview, like a little clips of interviews with Tia Carrera and her, and you can see some of the guys from the TV show Chuck. And I actually
they
really
were actually
want
funny.
People, no, they were ridiculous, those guys. And I really want people to download that stuff because this is basically the beginning for us of community content. The more content that we can get on the marketplace, that is just kind of that is. We produce a lot. The Gamerscore blog team does a lot of our stuff as if we were in the community. You know, like we do it with the same mindset that we had when we were doing independent podcasts, and we do it for fun, and we do it with, you know, on the cheap and quick and dirty content. And we want that stuff to be available and accessible. We want the marketplace to reflect the fact that people want that type of content on there. Mm-hmm. So we hope that people go to the marketplace and look for the VGA content, because then internally at Microsoft, we can say, oh, you know what? The community really is looking for community stuff. They really go out of their way to download community videos, because the more we can do that, the more we can support the work that the rest of you guys are doing in video and download content.
That's the next step for the community, is to have their content on Xbox Live. We got the gamer pictures already. Next step is videos. Now, Nelson, can you tell us exactly where we can find this content on the Xbox Live Marketplace?
If you go to the video store on the Marketplace, there's a section there. If you look for TV shows, one of the places you can look is the networks. You know, you can see like different channels. If you look for Spike TV content, you should see the Video Game Awards on Spike TV content. And there's a bunch of clips there, and some of them are the community clips that we created. So
awesome.
Best thing is just go to the video store, look for Spike TV, and then look for our stuff.
Great.
So we're going to let you get on that helicopter so you can meet Bill Gates. I know you guys are going to go golfing or something.
That's the plan.
In the middle of the night?
We're going to fly to a place where it's still sunny out.
Oh, nice. Ah. Nice. Awesome. One of his many islands, I bet.
That's a fast helicopter.
You can also catch Mr. Nelson.
Stop breaking the theme, Umo.
Sorry.
Into the helicopter, whether it's sunny out. You have no imagination. You have no heart, no spirit.
My bad. Whoops.
Just believe it. That's all we want you to do.
Visualize.
Hey, he's Bill Gates. He can have a fast helicopter that can go around the world faster than the rotation of the Earth. I believe it.
Forget Superman. If you've seen Nelson Rodriguez's Portal video, you'd understand that they already have that technology. So all he has to do is part his way over there to Fantasy Island and meet Tattoo.
Anything is possible. Speaking of Tattoo, there's a reason why JDP tattooed the word believe across his lower back, and it's not Halo.
Wow.
So why don't you explain exactly what does it mean?
I'm going to leave it up to the listener to figure it out.
And an upcoming title that's going to be an Xbox Live Arcade exclusive, Coconut Milk Island, starring Tia Carrera. So watch out for that.
People are leaking that information. Leaking, quote unquote.
Leaking, yes, exactly. Milk leaking. Anyway, thank you for your time, Nelson.
Thank you guys for having me on.
So with us, we also have Clutch27 from the Podtacular community. How's everything going there, Clutch?
I'm pretty good. Just hanging out, waiting for the break to start. Got one day left.
Nice. I remember those days. So was it a treat to get that nice long vacation.
Now, those days in 1947?
Exactly, when I had no shoes and I had to go down the hill in the snow barefoot.
Uphill both ways.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And we didn't just have those little notebooks. We had big old blocks of wood that we had to write on.
We had to write with coal on rocks.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, Clutch, what have...
Oh, man.
What have you been up to in the community?
Not much. Just been kind of... I'm kind of known more or less for the Christina Aguilera call-in.
Yes,
I remember that, and it's still...
Scary, more or less. Funny, I don't know. It kind of...
Carved in my head every time I hear that song. And the Fergie one, too, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Fergalicious.
Fergalicious, that was another one. I
threw that one in there. But Captain Crunk had to go and put it to some country song. Like, I'm sorry, I couldn't find the track, and I wasn't going to buy it, so this one works just as well.
Now, what made you sing these songs on the Collins?
Yeah.
That's a good question, JVB. I got to know, man.
Yeah, what possessed you to do such a thing?
Well,
what were you thinking?
It was about 2:45, 2:30, something like that in the morning.
Wow.
I've been up playing Halo since like 11.
Mm-hmm.
And drinking Monsters like an addict. And it was wired, and I heard it on the like radio, Pandora radio on my computer, and I was like, oh, I gotta call for my tattooer.
Like, that's it. I'm calling right now.
God has spoken to me. I need to see
the clouds parted. The angels came down. Clutch 27. We are here to give you an assignment.
You will sing Fergalicious.
That's cool. But I want to do something funny for mine.
You will call 206-888-HALO.
I was like, I want to do something funny when I call in. I just got to wait for it. And I heard this song. I was like, let's call Botacular. Oh. So I like click on iTunes, fast forward to the last like 2 minutes of the show. And I'm like typing in on my cell phone. I'm like, Botacular.
Do I have a song for you?
I'm next to you. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
I remember like, ain't no other man. I'm like, who the hell is this?
I hope he's taking his medication.
I said
who
it was at the end, because y'all were like, oh, come on, man up. But it was too long of a submission to show. So that's why I was like, oh, I'll call back and sing again.
You know what, though? You stood out, and, you know, it was all in good fun.
Yep.
I just begged that you never do it again, but hey.
It worked one time.
You will always have a moment in Podtacular history, that's for sure.
You'll have a place in our hearts.
Whether that be a good thing or not, it's still undecided. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It depends on the individual.
Well, anyway, that was the world's longest introduction.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, yeah, we are doing the multiplayer tips and map of the month, this show, which is Standoff this time. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff people sent in for Standoff on how to do well on that map. So let's start with the first one here. Why don't I start off here? Heavy Grunt sends one in saying, hey guys, the always insane Heavy Fire Grunt here. Again, my tip for Standoff is to grab a BR and either stay at your base or flank the other team. Another tip I have is to grab the rockets or a Spartan laser and get an award hog and lay siege to the other team. Well, that's all. Keep on fragging man, bear, pigs, and shout out to everyone on Rooster Teeth. Wow, okay.
Okay, man, bear, pigs.
That's pretty quick tips. Let me give a quick overview of how this map is laid out. I did some little bit of research before the show. I found out that actually it looks pretty. It looks like it's not symmetric, but really the entire map is almost completely symmetric. To where you have the map, the two bases on either side are almost exactly the same. They're as far as the layout is concerned, they're exactly the same. Even the rocks in the center, when you look at them overhead, they're exactly the same. They're just the opposite directions. So the only thing that makes it not symmetrical is two things. There's cliffs in the back of one base, and there's a sheer cliff where there's a drop on the other one. So actually there's a wall in the back of one and then a sheer cliff where you fall off on the other. So the other thing is that there's three they're landing pads of some type. So there's two that are basically split out between the center bases. And there's one that's on the base with the wall behind it. And then on the other side, they actually have objects to replace the different things that the landing pad creates there. Like, there's kind of like a metal structure thing on the left side facing out of the base that has the wall behind it, and with a antenna on it. And then, for instance, on the other side, where there's the sheer cliff, there's a tree in that place. So the map is really completely symmetrical to where they place objects to even it out. But it looks like it's not. So it's kind of like coagulation, right? Except it's basically like a shorter distance between the two, right, JVB?
Oh, it's a lot smaller as far as getting from base to base.
Yeah.
It is a well-balanced map, and like I said last week, Luke Smith from Bungie, he said it was possibly the best map in any Halo game.
Hmm.
And I'm starting to hear some feedback as to, you know, they're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it enough to actually get the full feel of it.
Yeah.
So that's my fault, and I'll eventually start playing and give a... I mean, I did do exactly what you did today, and I did roam around and kind of refresh my memory with the map.
Right.
Well, and out of the three new ones, that is my favorite.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of neat how they have the opening and closing doors, well, opening doors, rather, mm-hmm. on the basis, too, to where you can flip a switch and you can open both the windows yes. on the first floor. The you can also open the doors that close out the pathway that goes right out in the basement over to the radar dish or landing pad in towards the center of the map. And each of those go to the opposite landing pads to where mm-hmm. those go right up next to it. And what's cool about those is that it's quick access to rockets or needlers. But the bad thing about it is that it's another entrance that it opens up into your base, number one. And number two exactly. is that it opens those windows so people can throw in grenades on the first floor mm-hmm. into your base, mm-hmm. which is right where the flag plant, you know, or the flag capture spot or the assault spot is. So, you know, easy yes. way for them to clear out the base.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Anyway.
So I guess we can continue, unless you have something to say, Clutch?
Yeah, it looked kind of like, I don't know if either of y'all played Mass Effect. I know most people have. The very first level, like whenever you like just land and you're walking mm-hmm. around, it seems like really similar to me.
Yeah,
and that aspect, like with the rocks in.
It's a map where I don't know if they're going to make a Halo 4, but I can see the potential there as a Blood Gulch or Hang'em High where people are going to say, wow, this map really stood out. And we want Standoff as a remake in Halo 25 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Clutch, you have the next one.
Alrighty. Anarchy, no pain, no gain, says, it's my first time writing for this show, but I think I have some good tips for Standoff. The first thing you need to do when you spawn or respawn is to get a secondary weapon, or else you will die again and again and again. And again, on this map. If you're playing objective game types, only use the vehicles to get across the map quickly on both sides. Finally, my main advice on this map, if you really need to get to the center of the map, make it quick because there's Spartan Laser Needler turret only waiting for easy kills and bad deaths for you. I hope you like my simple advice. Keep on fragging trucks and anything with wheels, including unicycles.
Nice.
Unicycles.
Will do.
I don't think they stand a chance.
We actually like had a kid that rode a unicycle to school every day for a while.
Whoa.
Dang.
Tried juggling. He had a backpack on, unicycle, and like two, sometimes three tennis balls, and was like juggling, and I was like,
oh, wow.
Dude,
I guess he was practicing for his future in the circus.
Guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Arbitration says, before I start, I would like to say that Standoff is the best map in the whole game. In any game type, Marn Capture the Flag, it is usually a great advantage if you can get into the opposing team's base and open up their door/window so that you have more of an entry-exit route. On CTF, once you have captured the flag and you are going at full gallop on your steed, Mongoose, back to your castle, it's best to use the entry at the back. Okay, he kind of messed up here, but it sort of slopes down to the base. If done right, the Mongoose can go right into the base for a safe drop-off.
Let me comment about that real quick. He's talking mm-hmm. about the the back of the base, of each base, there's a trench that goes down in there.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you can just cruise right on in there with the Mongoose. That's interesting how that works. I didn't realize you could slide that right in there. It also has
today.
Did you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it also has a back room back there that has these two doors that are closed and yes. in each base. And that's pretty cool because you can go in there and then there's an entrance right into the third floor, which is the top area there. That also has mm-hmm. A front door as well. And then, you know, on down to the second and so on that has a front entry, but you can just cruise right down into the flag plant spot
mm-hmm.
or the assault
spot.
That would be cool to get in through the back, though.
Yeah, and I have yet to play a capture the flag match on this map.
Yeah.
But I have some tips, so I'm going to use them now.
Yeah, definitely.
So he goes, if the other team has someone shooting you from the turret on the top of their base, I find it best to go on top of your base and shoot them down from there because by the time he realizes where it's coming from, it will be impossible for him to kill you. He says, keep on fragging trucks.
Nice.
Thank you.
Many thanks, Arbitration. On to Lil Kook, who says, hey, Podtacular, congrats on episode 140. Only 10 more, and we can have a real celebration. This is true.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, Standoff. Awesome map. My favorite out of the three. This is a perfect map for sniping, so if you're a good sniper, camp on top of one of the tall hills and snipe to your heart's content. Another strategy is specifically for assault. I played neutral assault yesterday and got owned because of this one trick. So when you're planting the bomb, stand right behind the doorway and leading into the base that you're armied in so that the team coming in trying to disarm the bomb can't see you, making sure you have the shotgun and just nail everyone who tries to come in. Also, some of your teammates guard the other entrances in the arming destination to the army destination. Also, use the Mongoose to drive the bomb holder. This is the fastest way to do it. You also need to utilize the most important vehicle on this map, the Warthog. When you spawn, just pile you and your teammates into it and go get some kills. The Mongoose are also important, mainly because they can fit through almost all the doorways. I was chasing someone with the bomb yesterday through almost every door with a Mongoose. Great job, guys, and keep up the good work. Keep on fragging Marines who want shotgun seat in a Warthog, but then decide to walk instead. Little kook. So I guess what he's saying is that once you arm the bomb, just get outside of the base on the first floor and go right around the corner where the windows open. And then once they go in and try to disarm the bomb, you can just cruise right around the corner and take him out with a shotgun because you're pretty close range. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a good strategy.
Yeah, because of the range, I think that's the thing that really makes mm-hmm. the whole thing work.
Exactly.
Well, Clutch?
I definitely need to start playing this map a little more. Is that the last time I played the match list that they had for it the first day the maps came out last week?
Mm-hmm.
It was constantly the same map, which was Foundry.
Yeah.
And, no, Rat's Nest, and it was Slayer.
Oh, man.
So.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are getting that kind of thing, where they're getting multiple, mm-hmm. the same map multiple times over and over and over. Or, you know, some of the problem is that you get people in your team that are like, veto, 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 and they just whine over and over, and it's just like, mm-hmm. okay, we'll veto. Exactly. We'll get the other map on something you don't like either, you know? It's like, quit whining, you know? Just play the game.
Stop whining.
Exactly.
All right, dear.
Listen Clutch. Very carefully.
We're going to play this map, and you're going to like it. If you press Vito,
oh, really?
I'm going to get my friend Vito, and he's going to beat you up.
Hey, Vito, screw you!
Vito! Bring me back my cookies. All right.
All right. Oddfluent says, yes, fourth submission. Well, actually, it is sixth submission, but all right, we'll burst that bubble. Okay, so Standoff is one of my favorite maps, mainly because there is no sniper. I'm very bad with the sniper, except for some reason on shoddy sniper, I'm really good weird. A good strategy for VIP is to let the VIP get a close-range weapon and have him camp in the hallway where the door opens. He shouldn't need too many guards because he has an overshield. If the door does open on the VIP... If the door does open, the VIP should abandon his post and stay near the top of the base. With no sniper, he is safe in the open. Sorry about my last post. It had many spelling errors. Hope this one is a lot better. Yeah. Not really.
Oh, it's better.
What? That's okay. Well, I didn't see the original, so I can't compare.
All right. What do we got next here? JVB?
All right. We have Johnny1000. I wonder if he's from the...
Johnny 5?
Yeah,
Short Circuit, yeah.
Johnny 5 is alive.
Beginning... Johnny 5 is alive. He says, at the very beginning of the match, do not take the Warthog, even though it's tempting. Make sure you secure your rockets and Spartan laser. Once you secure all the anti-vehicle weapons, make go, gun, and splatter every last enemy or friendly unit, which isn't nice. We don't encourage that. He says, keep on fragging fraggers. And it's a simple but yet very crucial strategy. You always need to make sure you have, especially the Spartan laser, because in this map, it will dominate me.
This is like Halo 2 style, where you make sure that you grab the anti-vehicle weapons before you get the vehicle, so that your vehicles don't just get taken out. It was much more prevalent in Halo 2 with the tracking rocket launcher, of course. But, you know, in Halo 3 with the Spartan laser and the rockets on this map, since it's such a small map, it's definitely important to secure those. Of course, it's hard to get your enemy's rockets. That would be really tough because you got a lot of ground to travel and they can get there much faster than you can. But definitely you can get your own rockets and hopefully Spartan laser, which is right in the center of the map as it turns out. Definitely learn where those rockets are because they can be extremely useful. There's six Mongeese on the map and two Warthogs in a small area. There's going to be a lot of vehicles flying around, and especially the Warthogs, you want to make sure to take those guys out so that they don't do so much damage with those turrets.
Exactly. So, go to Forge and just fly around and study the map. Juiced Pirate, he says, hey, Potacular, I have a small but good tip that works well when having the laser and battle rifle. The open helipad marked 3, located behind the one base, is the highest and best vantage point on the map, making it easy to laser anything clear across the map. This point is also nice because once you run out of laser juice and the enemy team seeks revenge upon you, their vehicles cannot make it up the concrete retaining wall around the helipad, putting distance between you and them for an easy battle rifle kill. Keep up the good work. Love the podcast. Fumo, pony up and get the new maps already. And keep on fragging yellow-bellied newbie lizards.
You know, that reminds me. I have to give a big thanks to the GamerScore blog team for hooking me up with the new maps. I was going to wait until they were free, but fortunately Chris Paladino over at GamerScore blog gave me a code, and I was able to get him. So thank you very much, Chris Paladino. Much obliged, man.
Whoop whoop!
You guys rule.
Yeah. That was a good, nice thing that you did.
So I see what he's talking about. They have the helipad in the back that has the raised section that you could stand on top of, and you can use that to laser down in the area. But the thing is like since we're talking about how there's no snipers, the BRs can still aim in on you. But you can just jump down and jump behind that raised section that's raised at a 45-degree angle and take some cover really quick. So it is it is a good section, but it's only good on one side because they don't have anything equivalent on the other side. So that's good to know.
Well, once again, you have to coordinate an attack against that. And, once the player with the laser will be on top of number 3, and he'll be focusing on vehicles while his teammates, if they do it the right way, they can flank him, take him out.
Yeah.
So there's a way to counter that easily.
Definitely, yeah. You know, BR fire, it's like they do in MLG, it's really a lot of teamwork to where if you focus multiple BRs on one guy, it's very short time until he's dead. So that's the thing, is like knowing when people have how many shots on them and coordinating to where everybody's focusing their power on one guy to where they can take him out really quickly before he can do any damage. So, not that I'm very good at that, but it's definitely a good technique if you're working with, especially if you're working with a team that you go into matchmaking with and that you can work together without, getting in arguments about, who's, you know, who's cool or who's a jerk or whatever. You know what I'm saying? A random matchmaking, that kind of stuff tends to come up.
Mm-hmm. I know. It seems like this map in particular has a lot of strategic. It focuses on strategy. It's not like you can dominate by staying up and lasering everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If you do some good teamwork, you can take them out. Yada yada yada.
Definitely, because of the valley that's down there and the abundance of cover, it makes for a really good BR map. Because as it turns out, you can BR people, but they can get to cover. So you can throw grenades pretty much across the entire map. But, you know, there's the cover around, so you gotta use those, you know, those things kind of balance each other out. So it makes for kind of a good MLG map going on.
Russian Kolob says, "Hey guys, Russian here with some tips on the beautiful map of Standoff. Haven't played many games at all on this map, but I learned a lot by just playing a few times. First off, communication is crucial on this map. It doesn't matter whether it is capture the flag, assault, or just plain team slayer. You need to talk to your team. There's so many places for people to hide that you can get ambushed anywhere. Letting your teammates know where these ambushes might be or are if you accidentally trigger or see one is very helpful to the rest of the team. Controlling the Warthog is key. In one of the games I played, a total noob decided to take the Warthog at the beginning of the game, with no one in it. Needless to say, it was destroyed shortly after. The opposing team, on the other hand, was smart enough to have someone on the turret when they took their Warthog out. Within minutes, the other team had the entire map locked down, and we could do barely anything. Their Warthog was driving around and gunning us down nonstop. So in other words, controlling the Warthog is key to this map. If you have a good driver and gunner, you are almost guaranteed to win the match. Well, that is all I have for this week. I want to give a shout out to the Potacular Marines, Squirrel Dry C, Dude 5486, and Red Clan A. Keep on fragging those troublesome hairy Russian Yetis that are often confused as being Russian women. Russian signing out."
Wow.
That's a little harsh there.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Alrighty.
It's rough on Russian women.
Oh, no. Wow.
No, but
poor Olga.
She's never Olga doesn't deserve that.
My little babushka.
Oh man! No, he has some good tips there. Definitely, I think that's that's where teamwork really fits in this map because it's so open, relatively. Because you can aim down into the valley, and yet because there's so much cover, you got to be able to take guys out with multiple people, you know, and before they get back into cover. And I think that's where the vehicles come in and anti-vehicle weapon control as well. But definitely those turrets on top of the bases come in super handy, man. Like to defend people as they're coming in and for sure.
Exactly. I kind of compare this map as far as where it's strategy heavy. I compare it to Lockout.
Mm-hmm.
On Halo.
That makes
2.
Sense. There's a lot of levels in the bases. There's a lot of complexity outside of the bases. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot to it. I think of it kind of like a mix between Midship and Blood Gulch, which is a really strange mix. But because of how symmetrical the bases are, and because of how open the whole area is, and how you can aim down towards the center, you know, it's a strange mix of the two. It's a bastard child.
It's like Sigourney Weaver's kid in Alien Resurrection.
Exactly. I couldn't have put it better myself, man.
No. An alien humanoid hybrid.
Yeah. Exactly. Pretty soon I'm going to start coughing. You know, and then I'm going to cough up an alien.
Boink. Oh man, not another one. Well, the cold that bad cold I had, I was spitting aliens. That's how big and chunky them phlegms were.
Nice. All Did right. you have a mouth inside your mouth?
Like Slimer popped out of my mouth.
All right.
My wife just asked me why we're talking about phlegm.
Because it's the Halo podcast.
We cover everything.
All things Halo, including phlegm. I think we can place phlegm in Forge now.
Mm-hmm, exactly. A big old phlegm patch. Right in the middle of the road.
You walk and you get stuck. Oh, crap, what am I going to do?
Oh, I'm stuck in some phlegm. Phlegmtacular.
I need some Vicks Vapor Rub, quick!
Is evaporating. That'll be the new deployable weapon, Vicks Vapor Rub.
Rub it on your chest, quick! Okay, now breathe deep. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Hurry, oh, hurry, hurry.
I can breathe again. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Vix.
it'll go just hand in hand with the Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
You pick it up at Walgreens on the side of Standoff.
Master Chief Vix Vaporizer. Will you vaporize the enemy?
Okay, so Psalm 116 writes in saying, "What's up, Podtacular? Psalm 116 here to share some tips for Halo 3 grinders out there. My tip for Standoff applies more to CTF, Capture the Flag game. Number one, do not flip the switch inside the base." This is like Zanzibar. It's like, don't flip the switch inside your own base. You know, it's like sometimes people, it's like, what are you doing? Anyway, this will help eliminate a viewpoint for the other team and help conceal your strategy for guarding the flag. Use your radar and communicate with your team to know where the enemies are. Number two, using weapons for right tactic is just as important as team play. Example, if you choose to leave a player inside the base to guard the flag, allow them to grab the shotgun for close quarter combat and have another team member use the rocket launcher inside the base for greater splash damage. I think he's talking about the Mauler on the first floor because that is obviously super valuable because we all know how powerful the Mauler is because how quickly it can reload. I mean, it does less damage than the shotgun, but it reloads quickly enough that you can do probably more damage than the shotgun, you know, depending on range, of course. But, you know, once they get in the door, they're pretty much in range. So it's super powerful. But yeah, that's right inside the first floor where the flag capture spawn is and the assault bomb plant spawn. Anyway, when you are on offense, distract your enemies while someone on your team sneaks into the base using camo and place a mongoose in a strategic location for a quick escape is number three. Expanding on that a little bit, the camo, just so you know, is up by the tree on the base with the sheer drop, and on the other one with the wall behind it and the helipad behind it, it is by the like concrete outcropping with the antenna up on it, just to the left of the base. So both of them are to the left of the base. It's in kind of a slot there. It's super good to grab that and just jump back into the base and use that to for defense for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My team slayer tips are more thoughts to think about than actual gameplay. If your team decides to work in pairs, try to complement each other's weapons. Have you or your teammate grab a weapon that will deplete your enemy's shield while your partner carries a weapon that will finish your opponent off. I promise you, if you incorporate weapon selection into your strategy or tactic, your efficiency will increase. Try playing through campaign missions co-op to practice using different weapon combos. Learn the strengths and weaknesses for each one. Dude, that's a cool idea. It's like a two-person noob combo, kind of, except for not necessarily always using plasma pistol and BR, but, you know, using something like even plasma rifle and carbine. Or something like that, you know, or anything plasma and, or anything really that takes down their shields, even if it's, you know, one person throwing grenades and the other person firing, you know, SMG, no, even short to mid-range, you know?
Mm-hmm. That was in Halo 2, a lot of the good teams were doing that.
Yeah.
And that is something that not everybody has grown accustomed to doing in Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of practice and knowing exactly who you're playing with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, though. It really comes down to teamwork, doesn't it? I mean, working with your team to try to take out one guy at a time to make sure they're overpowered and outmatched, you know? And so that you can make sure to always have at least a two-on-one situation everywhere you go. I mean, how can people defend against that? You know, even if you have two cruddy guys against one really good guy, it's really hard for them to defend against those two cruddy guys.
Exactly. No, it's true. you know, it there is strategy to Halo. People they like to deny it that it's all run and gun, but there is a lot of strategy, and those who use these strategies are the ones that go up to a level 50.
Definitely. I mean, once you get above level 25, you'll find out for yourself, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Well, everybody loves to focus on kills per match, but the most telling stat after a game is the kill-death ratio. One of your team's goals should strive for a zero or better kill-death ratio for each person. If you're able to accomplish this, it is impossible for your team to lose. I'd rather play with someone with 5 kills all game with a kill-death ratio of plus 3 than a person with 19 kills and minus 23 deaths and grind my way towards victory. Dude, that's amen, brother. I gotta say, man.
Yeah, that's definitely.
That's the thing, is like playing defensively, you know, that's part of the thing. And when you watch better players, you kind of learn this. I mean, so yeah, take a break sometimes and check out some saved films for some people that play really good, and you'll see that they play defensively. You know, they don't take too many hits, which is why they stay alive. So they back around corners, and they take some, they let their shields recharge and things like that, and they go in with full shields. So that's the thing, you know, is play defensively to where you stay alive. That's the important thing. If you kill them but you die, you don't get anything, do you? So
don't be afraid to run. I run a lot when I know that I'm taking too much damage, or I'm not gonna exactly kill them from 80 yards away with my battle rifle. I just turn around and do what I gotta do.
Definitely.
To stay alive. And also ranking up also. That's a good way to rank up, is by keeping alive and getting kills creatively, or whether it's slay or objective. It's the main goal is to stay alive.
Dude, that's
don't go out there and die for no reason.
That's a super good thing to burn into your brain. 5 kills with plus 3 is better than 23 kills with minus 5 or whatever. So, I mean, only 5 kills if you're plus 3, you know, think about it. So, that, yeah, it's a lot of defensive, it's a lot of standing around and making sure that you're, you know, you're in good shape and you're not going to die and things like that, and not going out and running and gunning into an open area, but you get plus, you know, a plus kill-death ratio. Anyway, okay, so he says, enough said. Whew. Just like to give a shout-out to Lil Kook for a shout-out on the last Podtacular episode. Dude, they're exchanging shout-outs. Nice. It's going to be like, hey, how's it going? On the one, and it's going to be like, oh, pretty good on the next one. And
don't give him any ideas, dude.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Psalm 116. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, that was really informative, and hopefully everyone can take this knowledge and use it to their advantage. So we got Heavenly Yeti. He says Standoff can be a pretty tough map for beginners, but everyone above that line, it's great fun. In Team Slayer, grab the Hog and the Turret Guy, but make sure they're able to shoot. No guests. Communication is important. And that seems to be the common theme here when describing this map.
Right, yeah.
Communication and teamwork. He also says that tell them where enemies are and where vehicles are. Also, listen to them, too. Teamwork leads to victory. He says that's all he has. Keep on fragging trucks. He also says, shout out to Gordon Freeman and everyone at Black Messiah. Man, in case nobody knows what he's talking about. Orange Box, Half-Life,
yeah,
yada yada.
Word,
man, I'm on like a great Seinfeld game. Kick.
Yada yada yada.
Yep. Once again, somebody stressing the importance of teamwork and communication.
For sure.
All right. Well, G Lewis sends in. Well, the map is fairly new, so I haven't actually played it that much to master the entire map as of yet. Capturing the flag can be quite difficult if your team does not work together. It does, however, seem to work best if your team attempts to come in from different sides, typically from the front door that leads to the flag, and then the trench bunker entrance works well, since you'll be coming from both sides. I think he's talking about the trench back behind the base.
Yeah, the back, yeah.
Also, it seems that if players continue to come in from the same side, the other team will pick up on it, or at least me and my teammates did. It did not really seem a need to activate the switch, which opens up 3 new doors.
Okay, so Clutch lagged out, so we're going to continue reading on G. Nubis's submission here. And he says, during most multi-flag and assault games, which I assume this map was created for, I seldomly play defense. The map is so small that only areas that can really decide who is actually owning the map are the rocks in front of each base, and then sometimes at either of the silos. Typically, there will be one team at the other team's base the entire time in my experience, so keep the pressure on quickly. I was surprised to see how many battle rifles there aren't on this map. I guess the large number of vehicles can make up for that, but I'm old-fashioned. I love battle rifles, and I was ever at... Whoa, what did he say?
Yeah, no, it's kind of confusing his grammar right here.
So I'm assuming he's saying if he was ever to get a hold of one.
Right.
Okay. If I was ever to get a hold of one, I pretty much did quick work to whoever I got up against. Unless they were in a Warthog, of course. At that time, I would rely on my spiker grenades. Also, I have noticed that many players forget the importance of two major things on this map. Rockets and the Mongoose. Right. I assume people just do not know that there are two sets of rocket launchers on the map. They are at the far end of each base. Base's set of rocks.
On the left.
The Mongoose. Excuse me?
On the left, facing out from your base, they are the leftmost rocks, just on leaning against the actually just on the ground on the left side of the rocks. Definitely pick those up. They're in a little bit dark area on the base with the cliff behind it. Mm-hmm. But you definitely got to pay attention to those and grab those before the other team does and use those against the vehicles and things like that. So they're super powerful, you know. I know it doesn't track and everything, but when you got Warthogs running around wreaking havoc, you need them.
Exactly. Definitely. He says the Mongoose can be the king of this map. Quick teams of two and easy infiltration to a base. And since the map is large, it can be good for quick hit and run. If your gunner is equipped with a rocket launcher, it can be a fun game for you. Well, remember the laser. Don't forget that one, Lewis.
Definitely.
Anyway, he goes, well, keep on fragging trucks, PodTech. Thanks for keeping the Halo community so awesome for years to come. Hopefully, I can be here for it all. You guys rock. I want to send in some tips for Rat Race. P.S. Thanks to everyone for my birthday wishes. Yeah. Happy birthday, G. Lewis.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, on to Nene's friend, Shotgun Friendly. I know you're friends with Nene, I know it.
Hey, Nene.
hey, Nene. It says, before I start, dude, I'm a dork. He says, before I start with my tips for Standoff, I would like to just say that I told all my friends that Standoff would be an awesome map, even though they didn't believe me. But I kept strong in my belief, and as it turns out, I was right. So, off to tips for this awesome map, Standoff. Standoff is a rather medium-sized map, but with enough room for enough incredible Warthog fights. If you're going to take the Warthog with you, I recommend, especially on this map, to tell all your passengers, including the gunner, to warn everyone if they see the red laser, warning you that a splazer is charging pointed at your Warthog. If this happens to you, immediately get out of the Warthog and get as far away from it as possible, of course. I have come to the conclusion that you have a 50% chance of living if you get out the moment the splazer starts to charge. That's true, man, because the thing is, with the Warthogs, you're driving around the outer areas where there's not a lot of cover. So, if you get out when it's aimed at you, you're exactly. Lucky to get far enough away where you don't die, much less take any damage on your shields.
Exactly.
So he says, my next tip is, yes, I know, another tip for you. It is, if you are on the turret, please, 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 for the love of all that is good and fun, don't rip off the turret on top of your base. Oh, amen, man. That thing is super good defense, and if you can keep all the ammo in there. I cannot tell you how many times I have had some new person go on top of the turret and rip it off. This destroys the purpose of the turret on this map. the turret on the map is placed there to defend your base from people coming through the center. Also, if you happen to be on the turret and you see a charging splazer, get off of it immediately. Now, that you could probably get away from. You may get killed, yes, but you'll most likely save your team's turret. The turret is a very important thing in this map, as it can determine the outcome of a game. That's for sure, man. Because it's right in a very strategic location, you know. It's on top of the top floor. It can really defend anyone coming into the base, or even coming out of the base with a flag or something like that. Before I finish up, I'd like to apologize to the co-host of last week's episode, as I did call them worthless minions. And I would like to apologize to JVB, even though I cannot believe that he did not know that Splazer meant the Spartan laser. Also,
of course I knew that.
Also, to clarify something from last week's episode, man, going on and on. The rocket launcher is called the Spanker, pronounced Spunker, not Spanker. Dude, where'd you get that from? Anyway, shout-outs to ODST Recon number 1, Bungie.net group, home of the largest spam thread in the world, I believe, by the time this show goes up, with 650,000 posts? Holy crap.
Wow, that's pretty insane.
Wow, spammerific. Keep on loading shotgun slugs into nubs who think that there should be a sniper on standoff. Ooh.
There should be a sniper here.
Too small for that.
Well, apology accepted. And we look forward to more and more ninny tales. I mean, submissions. And even
tales from hanging with Nene.
Even though you claim not to know who Nene is, we know that you know who Nene is.
We know the real story.
Real story. Hollywood stories. Nene. Uncovered.
Nene and shotgun friendly revealed.
They are the same person.
Well, that brings us to the end of our show, pretty much. Be sure to send in your tips, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
And you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. That's 206-888-HALO. And leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the Customs and Colon... Whoops. On the Colons and Tales from the Foxhole show.
Old habits die hard. Yeah, that's for sure.
What a habit.
Yeah, I hear that. Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. And while you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of events, projects, and ways to make friends and play Halo with cool people.
Thanks to the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or website, contributing to our PayPal to help out with the hosting bills, digging the podcast on dig.com, that is D-I-G-G.com, or subscribing to the show and reviewing us on iTunes. And now you can also review us, well, not review us, but subscribe to us on the Zoom.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do it without you guys.
Definitely. Well, shout-outs to Wubble14789 for donating a MS points code to get Captain Crunk the new maps. Many thanks,
awesome.
Dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, appreciate that.
That was pretty sweet. That's awesome. And to Oopy at the Blue Skittle magazine, that is blueskittle.com. New issues is out now at blueskittle.com, and they also have a calendar that is pretty sweet. And our own Dialpex did a little something there. And a lot of people from the community.
Yep. And that's thebluesskittle.com. Check out the other shows on the GamerCast Network, Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, Sarcastic Gamer, Achievement Junkie, and the GCN's own video game show. Well, until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
And I'm JVB.
Keep on thugging trucks.
I want to thank Clutch27 for joining us. He lagged out. Catch you on the rebound, buddy. And by the way, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And by the way, speaking of which, this is going to be our last show until the new year. So, hope you guys have a good time at Christmas and New Year's.
Safe Christmas, New Year, and hopefully Santa has realized that you guys have been good. I'm sure some of you have been naughty, but that's for a different show.
If you're lucky, you'll get Call of Duty 4 or something like that.
Yeah, Call of Duty 4. A splendid game.
Splendid.
All right. So keep on fragging.
Nay, nay. Shoot him with a friendly shotgun.
There's only one thing left to say. Gamercast.